Hello and welcome to this week's reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. Last week we were thinking about the characteristic of holiness and we considered how God is morally perfect. And this seems to lead us into thinking about the justice of God, because if God is holy, then any evil or injustice is an offence to God, something that God cannot permit to go unpunished. I was dismayed to hear about the amount of violence that has been reported in the news this week. On Friday, and feeling pretty close to home to those of us who are in South London, there were multiple stabbings in Croydon, with one fatality and at least 9 injured. And further away, there were those 3 related incidents in Kilmarnock. And the words of the Deputy First Minister, John Swinney, stuck with me. He said, "A tragedy like this would be impossible to understand at any time, but after the events of the past year, it is particularly shocking that such an incident has taken place at an NHS hospital. Somehow these acts of violence seem even more brutal and unjust because we are in the midst of a pandemic where there is already so much pain. As John Swinney says, it feels shocking that people are choosing to add to the pain that we are all already experiencing. Of course, there are so many more cases of injustice occurring all across the world, far more than I could ever possibly detail. And yet, God sees them and knows them all. He cares about every situation." We're going to be looking at the passage in Psalm 10 today, and we're going to do it in 2 parts. The first part of the psalmist kind of seems to go off on a bit of a rant as he looks at the world and he sees all the injustice and he can't understand why God isn't intervening. So verses 1 to 13. "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts about the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked man does not see him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. Your laws are rejected by him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, 'Nothing will ever shake me.' He swears, 'No one will ever do me harm.' His mouth is full of lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush he murders the innocent. His eyes watch in secret for his victims. Like a lion in cover, he lies in wait. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. He says to himself, 'God will never notice.' He covers his face and never sees. Arise, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, 'He won't call me to account?'" So as we see in the beginning of this psalm, the psalmist is also wrestling with similar feelings that we have when we see injustice. That sense of anger and helplessness and confusion, wondering why God does not wade in and sort things out. The psalmist cries, "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" This first part of the psalm seems to show that God is inactive against injustice. I don't know about you, but there have definitely been times in my own life where I, like the psalmist, have cried out, "Where are you, Lord? Why are you not intervening in this?" And perhaps it might seem a bit irreverent to speak to God like this. We might ask, who are we to question God? But the Bible is full of people questioning why God doesn't seem to be acting. And it's because they are confident enough in the relationship they have with God that they can bring their difficult and challenging questions to him. It's hard for us to see injustice, or worse, to be affected by it. And we can often feel this impotent anger about it all. It is healthy for us to come to God with our feelings and our thoughts. God wants us to have a true relationship with him. And that means we come to him at all times, including when we want to rant and rave. It's the same with any deep relationship we have. People want to know that we feel confident enough to come to them with any emotion. I will sometimes call up a friend purely to have a bit of a rant about something that has angered me. And just as I call my friends, God wants us to call him. Is there any injustice that you are feeling angry about? Don't bottle it up. Don't allow your frustration to bubble away under the surface. Bring it to God. He can handle anything you are feeling. He cares about it, whether it's a big issue or a seemingly small injustice. When I do rant at a friend about something, I find that after I've had my rant, I feel better and more able to look at the situation with fresh and calmer eyes. And so we see this when we come to God with our rants. And this is certainly what seems to happen in this psalm. From verses 1 to 13, the psalmist has seemed to rant at God, asking to know why the wicked seem to prosper and the innocent victims are crushed. However, from verse 14, the tone changes, as the psalmist appears to have got the problem off his chest and is now able to look at things from God's perspective, as he realises that God is just and in control, and he does not allow the wicked to prosper forever. So this is the words from Psalm 10, verses 14 to 18. But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked man. Call the evildoer to account for his wickedness that would not otherwise be found out. The Lord is king for ever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, so that mere earthly mortals will never again strike terror. So there are probably about three things that allow injustice to continue. And those are impotence, ignorance, and impassivity. So impotence refers to the lack of power to do anything about the injustice occurring. And I know this is often something I feel when I hear of awful situations in the news, as I feel like I am powerless to do anything to help. Ignorance refers to a lack of awareness of the evil and injustice occurring. As I said at the beginning, there are many cases of injustice all around the world, and we don't know about most of them. We're completely unaware about where injustice is happening for the most part. And the third thing is impassivity, which refers to a lack of compassion for the people who are suffering. These three problems are things that we can and do all suffer from. However, this is not the same for God. The psalmist reminds himself that God is not affected by impotence, ignorance, or impassivity. God has absolute power, and the psalmist remembers this. As he says, the Lord is king for ever and ever. God is king, not just of Israel, but of all nations and all peoples. And so we are all subject to his perfect, just reign, regardless of whether we believe in him or not. We are all called to follow his commands. And so God has the power and the authority to punish any evil. And he also has complete awareness of every injustice that occurs. The psalmist remembers, but you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted, and you, Lord, hear the desires of the afflicted. God's awareness is not flawed like ours is. He cannot be deceived by anyone, as he sees, hears, knows and understands every thought and desire of our heart. As David says in Psalm 139, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. God's awareness is vast and far outstrips anything we can understand. And God's compassion is limitless. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed. God hears pain from those who are hurting, and he gives comfort and encouragement, and he defends their cause. The biggest sign of God's compassion and care for the world, and particularly for the oppressed, is Jesus, God's Son, who came into the world to rescue us. He came to show what God's reign really looks like and to give us hope. He came and showed us how to live according to God's command. And he came to turn our unjust world upside down. But we might want to ask, why is there still so much injustice in the world? Why does it seem like nothing has changed? And there are two parts, probably, to this answer. Firstly, while God's kingdom is here in part, it has still not come in full. We look forward to the full coming of the kingdom of God, when every knee will bow before him. At this time, justice will conquer and there will be no more oppression or evil. That's something we wait for with longing hearts, but it's not here yet. Secondly, God chooses to work through us. Jesus calls us to preach his gospel, feed the hungry, heal the sick, and clothe the naked. But we often expect God to do those things miraculously without much input on our own behalf. And God could, and God does. But he also invites us, calls us to join him in bringing justice to this world. Are we responding to his call with actions instead of just words? Or do we choose to just wait and see what God will do? Ask yourself, what can you do when you see injustice? Many times we are powerless, but there are often little acts of goodness and justice that we can do, which can make a difference, even if it's just to one person. There's a wonderful story that you've probably heard of that demonstrates how one action might not change the whole world, but it might change the world for one person. And the story says this. One day a man was walking along the beach when he noticed a boy picking something up and gently throwing it into the ocean. Approaching the boy, he asked, "What are you doing?" The youth replied, "Throwing starfish back into the ocean. The surf is up and the tide is going out. If I don't throw them back, they'll die." "Son," the man said, "don't you realise there are miles and miles of beach and hundreds of starfish? You can't make a difference." After listening politely, the boy bent down, picked up another starfish and threw it back into the surf. Then smiling at the man, he said, "I made a difference for that one." Little actions may not make a difference to the whole world, but they may make a difference to one person. As you go through this week, think about what one action you might be able to do that might make a difference to someone you know. So let's pray. Almighty God of justice, we worship you. We praise you because you are so great, so good, so holy, so just, so compassionate. And we thank you for the many, many times that you intervene, whether through miraculous signs or through your people. We thank you, Lord, for the ultimate act of intervention when you sent Jesus into this world to die for our sins, to take away the evil and injustice that we commit. And Lord, I pray that we would be responsive to you. We would listen to you and we would respond when you call us. You invite us to join with you in acts of justice and mercy. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we worship you. Help us to look to do that little action that might make a difference for even just one person. Let us help change their world, and in doing so, it might change the whole world. Amen.